That was good. Good evening. My name's Melissa Fairchild. I think I know just about everybody. There's a few new faces or new to me faces, but I'll tell you who I am. I am a daughter of the Most High God. That is who I am. I am a mom to three kids. I have Katie. She's 21, and she's the baby whisperer. If you have babies, you'll, you know. Oh, there she is. Hi, Katie. She goes to TW. What do you think she wants to do? She wants to teach babies. I have Stephanie, who will be 18 next week, and she keeps reminding me she's going to be an adult. And she sings beautifully. You'll see her. She'll sing here in a little bit. And I have Gavin, and you might be surprised that he already wants to be a composer. He wants to write scores for movies, especially action movies. This is his thing. It's kind of cool for a 10-year-old. so he's that by day, but by night, he has an alter ego, and that is Epic G. He calls himself Epic G. He has a symbol. Next time you see him, call him Epic G. Just saying. It's a thing. I'm a writer. I really need a t-shirt that says, I'm silently correcting your grammar. Because I kind of am. My kids get super annoyed. I'm sorry. My kids get low-key annoyed that I use correct grammar whenever I text. Okay. Thank you. And I can leave now. I'm a writer at work. I'm a writer at home. At work, I used to write the calculator manuals that come in TI calculators, the most boring job in America. I loved it. Now I code websites and that kind of thing. And I edit resumes. I think I've tutored some of you in English, and you're doing very well, by the way. So that's me and my family. And, of course, my parents back here, Jeff and Judy Fairchild, are amazing. So that's my story. And as I look out here, I see all kinds of stories. I see nursing students and moms and grandmas and Esther. She's just amazing. And when I look at your story, sometimes I remember mine, and I think I've had a lot of loss and a lot of grief. I've had a lot of pain in my life that you may or may not know about. But God has shown me that every devastation in my life, every loss, He is using to equip me to reach those very same people, the people that are in the places that I was in. And we're going to talk about some of that. But I want to begin with a metaphor and discuss the elephant that may be in the room. And that is my trash can. This is my kitchen trash can right here. Yes. I'm sorry, Mom. I didn't wash it down on the sides. It is nasty. And the corner that it sits in is even nastier. There you go. Sorry. But Gavin has one job. Actually, he has two. One is to take out the trash, and one is to feed the dog. And he doesn't do either with very much consistency. But the trash. So I asked him, I said, Gavin, it's time to take out the trash, son. And then I went, there he is. And then I went to do something else. I don't know, do some mom thing, man, whatever it was. And I came back, and the trash looks like this. And I'm like, well, actually, it looked like this. And so I said, son, there's trash in there. You know, there's still trash. And he said, well, I mean, it doesn't need to be taken out. There's plenty more room. You know, I smushed it down, right? Take out the trash now, or electronics will be a memory. Now you can go back and play Gavin. He wanted to hear that part. But I got to thinking about that later in my quiet time with God. I have about an hour every evening whenever I lock my door. The kids know how to pick the lock. But I try to have my quiet time in the evening. And one day I remembered the trash. And God was just saying, that's your heart. And you have so much trash in there. And it's time to take out the trash. It's just time. Don't smush it down anymore. Don't press. Let's take it out. So here are some of the things that I've stuffed in my heart. When I was about, I guess I was 20 when I got married. That was a lifetime ago. And 21 when I had Katie. But I had a pretty good marriage. It was a beautiful wedding, at least. And I had two beautiful redheads out of the deal. And so that's fantastic. But one day, I guess we were married for about 7 years. And he was acting strange. His words, his hands, things got a little bit more violent. He never put his hands on me, but there was the threat, you know, the threat of that. And I was like, what is going on with you? Like, I'm not sure. I remember going to church. It was Easter Sunday. And I said, look, I don't know what's going on with you, but we're going to go to church and we're going to be a happy family. And then we're going to deal with whatever this is. And well, 2 days later, he said, look, I don't love you anymore. And I don't think I ever did. And I don't know what to do with that. But I had two questions immediately. I said, who is she and how far along is she? And I was right. I was right. He had someone pregnant. She was 2 months along. And I was devastated. I was just absolutely devastated. I began to feel unworthy, shove this down, unlovable, shove it in the trash. I felt worthless. And all of this, I just shoved way down in my heart. That year, I've thought through that year this week as I was preparing for this. I lost my grandmother. That year, who I loved, I lost my marriage, I lost my home, I lost my job, I lost my car, I lost my youth ministry position, and for a bit, because I reacted so poorly to all of this, I almost lost my children. I started binge drinking when the kids went to their dads, and it was bad. It was hands down the worst year I've ever had. You know, sometimes when you feel like trash, you begin to hang around with trash. At least I did. And act and look and you smell like trash. And I was and I did. And it was bad. And it seemed like it was so much longer. My parents will tell you, it seemed like it was like 2 years. It was like 2 months of just some awful, awful time when I was just piling it on. Piling more sin, more shame on myself. And trash will tend to pile up until you take it out. I just didn't want to deal with the trash in my life. Like Gavin, I'd rather be having fun. I'd rather be playing my video games than going and taking the trash. So I just smush it down and carry on. I kept running. I kept drinking. I kept going further away from God. And I just didn't want to remember that my husband was moving his pregnant girlfriend into my house, into my bedroom. I couldn't deal with that. But my dad always says, Melissa, you've got to face reality squarely. I don't know how many times I've heard you say that. You've got to face reality squarely. My life had changed, and I needed to face reality, and I needed to accept it so that I could move on. And that was hard. They say bitterness is a poison that you take yourself hoping that somebody else will suffer, but you're the one that suffers. I was the one that was suffering. My kids were the ones that were suffering. My family was suffering. My church family was suffering. All of my frustrations and hurts I was taking out right here on my heart, smushing it further down. Somehow I came back to reality. I got to, that was 2003. I got into UNT about 2005, and I started doing very well. And the next year, my brother, I don't remember how long he had, it was almost 2 years maybe, that he dealt with cancer. And so we were walking him through cancer treatments and kind of facing the reality that he wasn't going to be around very much longer. And so in 2006, in November of 2006, he passed away and went to be with the Lord. But my sister at the same time, in her grief, she was my best friend and she left the family also. And so in the span of about 3 years, I had lost everything. I'd lost just about everything. And it was bad. And the trash kept piling up. It was, you're not lovable. Mom always tells me, Melissa, I love you. Don't you know that I love you? Don't you know that I love you? But when you have so much in there, you don't feel like you can put any more love if there's just so much trash in there. At least I didn't. So the theme became, you're not lovable. But what happened next, what happened the very next year, would change my life forever. I was taking summer classes at UNT. I was in a poetry class. It was awful. The poetry was just awful. Don't ever take a poetry class at UNT. No, I'm not sure. I don't even know what they were talking about. Anyway, my poems were awesome. But I was sick, and I didn't realize what was going on. I had a stomach ache. I went to the UNT clinic, which is usually speedy, but I remember that day. They were taking a long time, and I was so tired, and I was trying to raise two kids and go to school full time, and here I am in summer going to school again, and I'm tired, and I go to the clinic, and I fell asleep on the table, and a nice nurse wakes me up. She says, Melissa, I found out what the problem is. You're pregnant. I think I almost fell off the table. I was like, wow. Wow. So what do I do with this? I got to go home and tell people. And the shame that I felt was just, I can't describe to you the shame that I felt. I had let my kids down. My kids were very young. I had set a bad example. I had sinned against God. My parents were already so gracious and so wonderfully taking me in and loving me. And I messed up. Messed up. So I went home that day and I was crying. And I think Mom said, is something wrong with you? Like, what did the doctor say? Are you like dying or something? Is there, and I'm sure Mark had just passed away. And so they're like, did you have cancer? Is there something wrong? What's going on? I finally got the words out. I said, I'm pregnant. Oh, Mom had a million things to say all at once. She was like, you know, moms do that. Well, what are we going to do? And what are you doing? And, you know, the whole, you know, the mom thing. But Dad, he's in tune with God. And he said something that just changed me forever. He said, you're my daughter. And I love you. He spoke my identity. You're my daughter. That's who I am. That's what I started out here tonight with. I'm a daughter of the Most High God. I'm his daughter. I'm Jeff's daughter. I'm God's daughter. And I love you. So he spoke his identity into me. God is love. Whenever he speaks his identity into you, all of a sudden, this is just taken out. It's like he takes out the trash. And all of that stuff that was in my heart didn't matter anymore. You're unlovable. You're unworthy. No. I am a daughter of the Most High God, and in my deepest part of sin, he loves me. And that's all that matters. All of that other stuff doesn't matter. And this is who God sees you as today. Every one of you. He sees a daughter. With the woman at the well, he didn't see a sinner who had five husbands. He saw a daughter. To the woman caught in adultery, he didn't see her sin. He saw his love and grace for her. So he doesn't just see you as a housewife. He doesn't see you as a nursing student or a writer or a dental crown maker or a single mom or stay-at-home mom or a widow. He sees a daughter and he loves you. And here's what he wants to do with the lies that the world tells you. He wants to take out the garbage. He wants to say, I don't see that. That doesn't matter. When you come to me, I love you. You're my daughter. Will you let him take out your trash? Will you let him? Colossians 1:13 says, he has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. You need to hear that again. He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. He called me out, but not in a bad way. He's calling you out of darkness and into his kingdom. He called me daughter. He said he loves me. And I don't know where you are tonight. I mean, you're here in this church, in that chair. But where are you? God knows you. He sees the unfiltered you. He wants to have a closer walk with you. And he doesn't want to wait for when something, if she's thinner, if she has a better job, if she graduates, if she has another child, if she gets married. He doesn't want to wait. He wants you right now. Right now. Here are some things that he's called me out of. He called me out of divorce. He called me out of single parenting. He called me out of the bar. He called me out of depression, anxiety, abandonment, abuse, being ashamed, and he called me out of deliberate sin. He's calling you out too. That was the question. What's he calling you out of? We are daughters of the Most High God, and he loves us, and he sent his own precious son to be crushed so that we could be with him forever. He's calling you young to old, everybody. He's calling us to do something. Materialism, pride, out of a rut, out of your comfort zone, out of laziness, out of doing nothing, what is it? So I told you what he called me out of. Here's what he's calling out of me. He's calling out of me to speak love to those who have been divorced. He's calling out of me to speak healing to single parents, to speak life to people drowning their sorrows at the bar, to speak joy into people who are depressed, to speak peace to those filled with anxiety, to embrace those who have been abandoned, to comfort those who have been abused, and to speak grace that will lift the face of somebody that is so ashamed like I was. He's called me to draw people in deliberate sin back to his word, back to life, and that's what he wants. You're his daughter, and he loves you. When he calls us out of something, he usually calls us right back into that same thing. Like his disciple Peter, he was a fisherman. And so cleverly, Jesus said, follow me. Let's fish for men. When his disciple Matthew was a tax collector, Jesus said, follow me. And later, Matthew, that same Matthew, called together a feast and brought the tax collectors to come and meet Jesus. If you'll let him, God will equip you with the very thing the devil used to harm you. He will equip you with the very thing you use to harm yourself or others. He will send you right back into that place to help others out. Genesis 50:20 says, "You planned evil against me. God planned it for good to bring the present result, the survival of many people. Your story is far from over. He's calling you to go. And I believe he's specifically calling you tonight. There's some people that I thought would make it tonight and they didn't, but I think God planned it for you to be here tonight specifically. But maybe you're in here saying to yourself, but you don't know me. You don't know what I've done. Well, I've told you what I've done, and if he can use me, he can use anybody. You may also be saying, well, what about her? She's prettier. She's smarter. She sings better. She speaks better. She has a better family. She has a better car, higher degree, whatever. But here's what the Bible says about that. In John 21, Jesus, in his resurrected body, was speaking to his disciples, and he was restoring Peter. You know, Peter had denied him three times, so he was restoring him three times. He said, Peter, do you love me? He said, of course I do. Feed my lambs. He said this three times. Do you love me? Yes, feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. So in John 21, 20 through 22, it says, so Peter turned around and saw the disciple Jesus loved following them. And Peter saw him and said, Lord, what about him? And Jesus said, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? As for you, follow me. So if you're saying, what about her? Jesus says, as for her, I'm going to do with her what I'm going to do with her. But as for you, you follow me. Let's go. As the worship team comes up, I just want to say, I believe he's speaking directly to you tonight. He's calling you. He's saying, daughter, you're my daughter, and I love you. Let him sing that over you as they come.